destiny.
Luminous beings, Obi.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
That's where the fun begins.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
It's a trap!
Dreadfully done with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Welcome to Journey number 74 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Outgoing Transmissions by Rish Outfield. I'm your guide in this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. And we're turning this journey into a Star Wars extravaganza. We have some Star Wars fan fiction to play for you. And I think we've all done it at some point, written some Star Wars fan fiction. I know I've written a story. I've thought about producing it for the podcast, but haven't done it yet. But I'll put a link to it in the show notes. One of the things that I've noticed whenever I've tried to do any Star Wars fanfic is I always want to use some alien that nobody's used before, or use some clever tie into the movies somehow. So you start looking up Star Wars aliens, and you learn that there's an alien species called the Deshade. I also learned about the Gotal species of alien. And you learn things like a Dianoga is the name of the trash monster. And you just learn lots of little trivia. Things that you might not have even known to begin with going into the fanfic. And I think this is the first fanfiction I really run on the podcast. I guess you could count the my little side trip, Misfits, where we have King Moonracer coming to pick up the toy robot because he's an unwanted toy. But I don't know if that really... I guess that's fanfic. But anyway, we're focusing on Rish's story here today.
Hello, what have we here?
Now, if you haven't heard about Rish Outfield, say you're new to the podcast... For 5 ignominious years now, Rish Outfield has been the co-host of the Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine, which occasionally still produces full-cast short stories and lengthy banter with Big Anklevich. Lately, Rish has lent his voice to many audio dramas, lent his stories to many podcasts, such as ours, and he's also lent his soul to the horned black beast himself. He has tried his hand at narrating audiobooks, some of which are available at audible.com, and has tried his voice at singing karaoke songs, some of which are available in your most upsetting fever dreams. The Force is with him, but he is not a Jedi yet. And now, please come with me. And let's journey into a galaxy far, far away. Outgoing Transmissions by Rish Outfield.
The following are transmissions intercepted by a Bothan surveillance vessel in the weeks leading up to the historic Battle of Yavin.
Dear son, how are you? I'm sorry I haven't written in so long, but by imperial decree, no messages were to be sent from my current location until today. I hope you understand. By the Emperor, I've missed you. The last holo you sent mentioned your friend Kimbo stunning you with a blaster. I sure hope you stunned him back the first chance you got. You also asked about the little Dianoga you gave me when I shipped out. I regret to tell you that I no longer have him. He had gotten so large I had to move him from my quarters. I think he prefers it in his new home, since there's much more room and food. We weren't supposed to have pets anyway, it turns out. Alas, the life of an Imperial Stormtrooper. We'll write soon. TK-173. Dear Hale, how goes it on the Lorcan Moon? I hope you're getting enough to eat and are keeping up with your schoolwork. I know you're in the middle of fog season, and that tends to put you in a melancholy mood, but remember that it doesn't last forever. It'll be orange skies once again in no time. I've got some very good news. As you may have heard, the Empire has a fantastic new weapon, known colloquially as the Death Star. A silly nickname at first, but the Emperor got wind of it and was apparently so amused by it that he insisted everybody call it that. Well, now that the station is operational, Governor Tarkin has... Grand Moff Tarkin now, has said that we need not keep our posting secret any longer. So proudly, I announce that I have, for the last 8 weeks, been serving on board the awesome space station of the Galactic Empire. Everything is shiny and polished, from the hangars to the blast doors. It always puts a spring in my step. Even the messenger droids look new, and you know how fast they oxidize. My roommate Dakin Thrall, TK-621 officially, told me yesterday that he was present at the testing of the station's superlaser, and that it blasted out of existence an entire world of the worst criminals, traitors, and scum in the galaxy. That was good to hear. Almost as good as to hear from you again next time you write. All my love, Dad. Dear son, greetings from the most exciting place in the galaxy. Do I have a story for you? On my shift today, an empty pirate ship was brought on board, and it turned out not to be so empty after all. Apparently, it was filled with vile rebel spies. All stations were put on alert, and I got assigned to the same level as the captured ship. For hours, very little of interest occurred, until something spectacular happened. Lord Vader himself passed by the adjoining passage, wielding his laser sword. He did battle with and defeated one of the rebels, who also used the antiquated weapon. Nobody has seen such a thing in many years, and it was thrilling to behold. Hale, I know I told you how my own father used to talk about the Jedi Knights and the Clone War battles that happened 30 years ago, maybe 40. How I dreamed of seeing such heroes when I was your age, accompanying them on adventures. But of course, all of them were gone. But amazingly, I caught a glimpse of just such a battle today. You would have been very proud of Lord Vader, who has had little to do while serving with me here on the Death Star. He swung his blade with lightning-fast swoops and parries until he finally cut down his opponent with such force that it literally left nothing behind. I was very impressed by the Dark Lord, having heard stories of his heroics in protecting the Emperor over the years. Anyway, I thought you'd enjoy hearing about it. Things have really been happening these last few days. Send me a holo sometime, catching me up. We'll write again. TK-173. Dear son, there has been no end of good news today. The whole station is excited and everybody is talking. The rebel base on Yavin 4 has been identified. It's a moon, I'm told, not the planet. And we are closing in on it as we speak. My superiors assure me that as soon as the rebellion is wiped out, things will go back to normal throughout the Empire. Less restricted movement, cheaper goods and services, unscrutinized communications, and most importantly, shore leave for TIE pilots and stormtroopers. How marvelous it will be when those unfaithful Alliance malcontents are blasted into dust and this galactic civil war is at an end. From what 621 tells me, we are less than an hour away from a clear location to dispatch them. Once that's done, and Grand Moff Tarkin is satisfied our mission is a success, then I'll be on the first transport back to the Lorcan system. I look forward to holding you in my arms, and seeing how big you've grown, and telling you about everything I've seen. I wonder how hard it would be to find you a laser sword like Lord Vader has. I could ask Chief Bast what became of the one the old pirate had. I've got to go. Apparently, the rebels have decided to send a few fighters our way in an attempt to slow us down. To buy time for their friend's escape, I assume. It can't possibly work, so I'll be back to share even more good news within the hour. I love you, son, and long live the Galactic Empire. TK-173.
Kind of makes you feel sorry for the guy, doesn't it? When you realize that these stormtroopers had families and that they were people too, darn it. But they were part of an evil empire, so they had to be destroyed. After Rish sent this story, you know, he'd said that it was pretty much just written as a joke. And I can see that, you know, where he's playing some jokes there and he's essentially writing a fan fiction piece. But I think he also put in some humanity there and had some good characterization, a good story. The story today was narrated for you by Keith Rainey, who's a good friend of mine from work, who somehow I've coerced into listening to the Journey Into podcast. But I think he did a great job in narrating this story. He sounded like a real dad to me. That's because he is. He's a great dad, and he has a great family, and I'm grateful that he was able to help me out with this. We also had a special guest appearance by Mon Mothma for this production, a.k.a. Lawrence Crabb Harris. So I'm glad that she was able to add that little bit in there. Actually, that bit wasn't in the original story. I decided to make a nice introduction to the story, like this was a training holo or something for the Alliance, maybe a sensitivity training or something like that, where they had to be taught that stormtroopers are people too. But as I read this story, I thought about a podcast that I had listened to years ago called A Different Point of View, and he would have various subjects that he would talk about from the point of view of a stormtrooper. And these little podcast segments were recorded by TD0013, and that's all we really know about his identity. And TD0013 was actually one of the Star Wars fans that has the full stormtrooper armor. And he's the founding member of the 501st Dune Sea Garrison. And this podcast was pretty funny. I think it was originally part of Mike and Evo's Winging It from like the Slice of Sci-Fi and the Dragon Page. They also had another podcast called Winging It where they just got everybody together and talked about a bunch of stuff and had guests and guest posts. That's where I think Mer Lafferty did her Geek Fu Action Grip and all that stuff. And so I enjoyed those segments, and in fact, I think I'm going to play the first episode of that podcast, and there's about 13 episodes of it. It hasn't been updated in a few years, but I'll definitely put a link in the show notes so you can check that out. It's pretty fun. Cue it up, R2.
View. Greetings from the Dune Sea. I'm your man in the field, Sand Trooper TD0013, and this is a little segment I like to call A Different Point of View, where finally you get to hear the truth from an Imperial point of view. I'd like to start off by addressing something that has become a huge misunderstanding about us stormtroopers being lousy shots. You see, most people like to use the Death Star escape scenes as a basis for this argument, and I'd like to point out a few facts to you all that will dispel this crap once and for all.
Sir, we have contact on that ridge.
Yeah, I see him.
Confirmed kill. Nice shot, sir.
Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. It is a known fact that Lord Vader talked Grand Moff Tarkin into allowing the Millennium Falcon to escape, in order to track it down to the hidden terrorist base. Now, I ask you, if you went through the trouble of securing a homing beacon onto a ship, why in the hell would you kill the crew? You wouldn't. In fact, not only would you let them escape, you'd help them. Let's look at some facts to back that up. The Death Star was as big as a small moon, which is to say, it was f***ing huge. I was stationed there a year, and I still never found the Quickie Mart on level 1138. Anyhow, there is no way, blueprints or not, that somebody who was just brought on board this thing would know their way around. There's just no way, especially when you take into account the trash compactor route as a means of escaping the detention levels. No, they would be lost, period. The only way this bunch of miscreants found their way back to their ship was because they were being herded like cattle by the Empire. See, troopers were given orders to block off any paths that wouldn't take the rebels back to their ship. They were leading them, not killing or even capturing. Trust me, if the stormtroopers had been given the order to kill Princess Leia and her criminal band, they'd have been wasted in the detention block, toot sweet. Now, if you want to see stormtroopers in true action, watch the opening of the first film over and over. Because when the door blows open, white armored hell is certain to pour in and waste everything in its path. And if you still don't believe we're good shots, meet me on the range any day of the week, pal. I'm TD0013, and this has been A Different Point of View.
The following has been a presentation of A Different Point of View. All rights reserved. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the Empire or its subsidiary systems.
So this was fun to have a little Star Wars fanfic on here. I guess I'm not looking for loads and loads of submissions of fanfiction, because I probably won't play the majority of them. But this one was unique, and it was the first one that I had received, and so I thought it would be fun. And I hope you did too. So now I thought I'd take this opportunity to talk and talk and talk. Hopefully it won't go on too long. And if you get bored, feel free to turn off the podcast and come back next week. But I thought I'd reveal my sordid Star Wars history for you. So I was about 9 years old when Star Wars came out, and believe it or not, I did not see Star Wars on its first release. My mom occasionally took us to movies every once in a while, but it wasn't like something we did every weekend or anything like that. And of course, nobody really knew what Star Wars was when it first came out until after people had seen it and all the word of mouth came. But yeah, I never did see Star Wars when it first came out. But I would go to school and all my friends would be talking about Star Wars and talking about R2-D2 and C-3PO and all these characters from the movie, and so I kind of got to know Star Wars secondhand. And, you know, I knew the characters from what I saw on TV and from the lunch boxes and the toys that came out, and I believe I did start collecting some of the toys right away, even though I hadn't seen the movie. And, you know, my mom wasn't against it or anything, it was just wasn't really important at the time. But I remember that my mom did, probably because I bugged her and bugged her so much, that she did get me a record. It was a full, right? It wasn't a little 45 record. It was a full LP record of the Star Wars movie. It was edited down and whatnot to fit the length of the record, but it was a full record, both sides. And I remember listening to that record over and over and over again. And to tell you the truth, my older sister was actually a bigger Star Wars fan than I was to begin with. Now, I love Star Wars, and you know, I played it with my friends, and I listened to that record over and over again. But my sister really got into those types of things. She was actually way into Star Trek before I was. And my sister is around 3 years, just about 3 years older than me. And so, you know, growing up, I pretty much, whatever my sister was interested in and talked about, I was interested in and talked about. And so she's the one that got me into Star Wars and Star Trek and things like Buck Rogers and all those types of things. She was a big fan of that, and so I was too. So I do owe a lot of my fandom and geekdom to her, and I'm grateful for it. So anyway, eventually I did see Star Wars in the theaters. I believe when it came out on a second release or something like that. My mom took me. And I also remember when I went to Idaho to visit my family there, my Uncle Bobby took me and my sister to Star Wars also. And I think it was a double feature, and I think it was the movie Dark Star that played first. It was a strange movie, I remember, and I remember like a little red blob following somebody around, and that's the only trailer from that time frame that I've been able to tie it to. So I think it was Dark Star, and then Star Wars came on after that. Anyway, so yeah, so I saw Star Wars a couple times in the theater, at least. Maybe even three times in the theater when it came out in the second release. And I don't know what year that was. And then, of course, when Empire Strikes Back came out, that was big. That was huge. I remember just waiting and waiting for the movie to come out. And I don't think we saw it on the first weekend. I can't remember. But I know that we were chomping at the bit to see Empire Strikes Back. And it was everything we thought it would be. It was just amazing. We had the Hoth system. We had the Cloud City. We had Dagobah. Darth Vader was back. And this new emperor that we had heard nothing about in Star Wars was there now. And it was just, everything was cool about it. I loved Lando. I loved Boba Fett. Yoda was cool. I just remember just being totally blown away by Empire Strikes Back. Then knowing that we would have to wait several years for Return of the Jedi to come out was just unbearable. I remember, you know, especially with the big revelation of Darth Vader being Luke's father. And I remember holding out that I didn't believe it. I just would not believe. I said, there's no way that Darth Vader could be Luke's father. He's lying. He's trying to manipulate Luke. He's not really his father. And I held on to that. Everybody's like, no, no. Of course, he's his father. He revealed it. And so that was my big question that I wanted answered when I went into Return of the Jedi. Was this true? And of course, I was wrong. Darth Vader was Luke's father. But I enjoyed the outcome of that. But I do remember watching Return of the Jedi, and when Luke goes and pretty much gives himself up to the Imperials, and Darth Vader comes and talks to him as they're going to the shuttlecraft to go to the Death Star. Even then, I was like, and Luke's talking to him like he's his father. I'm like, no, it's not true. That's not true. It's impossible. But it was true. And I did thoroughly enjoy Return of the Jedi as well. The speeder bike chase was awesome. I liked the Ewoks at the time. You know, a lot of people hated the Ewoks, and they saw that as the beginning of the end for the quality of the movies. And I guess in retrospect, maybe it was. You know, maybe that was when Star Wars started to become more about the toys and the commercialization. And of course, being the third movie in a huge trilogy like that, I mean, yeah, there was so much to live up to with Empire Strikes Back. It was, you know, nearly impossible to make a perfect movie out of that. But I didn't mind the Ewoks. I thought they were cool. I thought it was funny how C-3PO was viewed as their god, and I just went along with the whole thing. I didn't look back and say, oh, what are these stupid teddy bears doing here? But I definitely enjoyed it. And of course, the best part of that was Luke and Darth Vader and the Emperor up in the throne room of the Death Star. You know, the series of battles that Luke and Darth Vader had in the throne room, and the mind play and the sister, and just all these things coming to a head. It was pretty incredible. And of course, I enjoyed the space battle and the battle on Endor. But it was really Luke, Darth Vader, and the Emperor that made that movie what it was. I guess the other big revelation in that movie was that Leia was Luke's sister. And because at that point, we didn't know that. You know, we had the cryptic line, "There is another," from Empire Strikes Back, but that could have been anybody. And so I don't think anybody expected Leia to be Luke's sister, especially after the scene where she kisses him in the sick bay on Hoth. But of course, they didn't know either, right? So again, to me, Return of the Jedi was another great success. And I just enjoyed it. I thought it was a good ending to everything. It tied everything together nicely for me. And I was happy with the trilogy. You know, I'd heard there was these rumors about these other movies. There were three movies before. There were three movies after. But I didn't really care at that point. I just thought, this is great. This is perfect. I love Star Wars. Like most of the world did, I suppose. I was a Star Wars fan. Then I remember, I think it was 1991, I was actually on a mission for my church. And on one of my preparation days, we were in a bookstore, just looking around, I guess. and I saw the hardcover of Heir to the Empire by Timothy Zahn in the bookstore. And I'm like, no way. So I picked it up and I paged through it and read that it was basically a continuation of Luke and Leia and Han and everybody a couple years after Return of the Jedi. I was like, no way. So even though I probably wasn't supposed to on my mission, I did buy that book. And over several weeks, I read Heir to the Empire.
Well, I think I'll cut the conversation short there and come back to it. Actually, I'm going to start another side podcast called Strewn Along the Path, where extra conversations and maybe some outtakes and other things that have to do with the podcast I can put on that side podcast. So look for that coming soon. But yeah, this conversation, I talked more about the Expanded Universe books. I talked about the prequels. I talked about the future movies coming out for Star Wars, some of my ideas on that. So I can post that later on Strewn Along the Path. It'll be very intermittent, but there's some things I have thought about adding to the podcast. I thought it'd be better on a separate feed, probably with less format and less of a schedule, considering I have a tight schedule for this podcast. But anyway, look for that, and I will see you here next week with a special 75th episode featuring a classic story from none other than Ray Bradbury. Until next week, stay safe out there and journey on.
Hi, this is Keith. I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it however and with whomever you would like. The theme music for the podcast has been provided by Man in Space
and John Williams.
The Force will be with you, always.